I invite you all to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Word was made flesh and lived among us. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then this was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town in Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray at this time that you would speak in ways that we can hear you. Help us to lay aside those things which may be weighing on us or distracting us, so that we might sit at your feet and learn from your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So several years ago now, I was following a chain of videos on YouTube, and this really intense video came up, and it was with a camera that was in the cab of a truck. And the truck was traveling at an incredible rate down a freeway. And very soon you realize that there's two people in the cab, and one is a woman, and she's in great distress. And the driver is a man, and he's trying to comfort his wife while driving really, really fast. And it's kind of cool because while you're watching this video, I started to recognize some things in the scenery through the dash cam. One of them was they were going to the Texas Children's Hospital, which Kimberly and I have been there lots of times with Colin. And we're getting there, and so they pull up to outside the Texas Children's Hospital, and the man lays on the horn. And the woman is getting a more and more intense screaming and all this stuff. It's really dramatic. And they open the door, and all these people rush out of the hospital to welcome them, try to get her into the hospital, but it's too late. And she gives birth right there on the sidewalk. Great video if you want to watch it. It's kind of the birth story that no mother wants. But there it is. It's actually coming more and more common for babies to be born on the freeway because there's too many cars on there and they wait too long to get to the hospital. But that's just the way of it. Last week, it was Christmas time, and we were celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we were looking at the story at why was Jesus born in a garage? What happened that caused that to transpire? Like, what was the cause for that? And today, Luke is continuing on the story, and filling in the gaps of who is this person? Who is this child? And time again throughout this whole story, the message the angels gave to Mary and Joseph is affirmed to be true. Right? An angel visited Mary. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Shepherds come in after the birth of her son and say, this is what we just heard. That was affirmation for Mary. And now this is where we've moved on to the story, and affirmation after affirmation is continuing. Now, I had my mom up for Christmas, my mom and my sister, and we were playing cards one night, and my mom kept telling stories about me. Stories that I wouldn't remember. But they sort of fill in the backdrop, and they've kind of, you know, it's nice to know that as a child I never did anything wrong. You know, it's good to know that, you know, people know you even when you don't remember what you were like. And this all is shaping the backdrop to what Jesus is going to do. And I think it's important for us to sit with Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph through these formational stories so that we can better appreciate who Jesus is and what he came to do. So we'll start with Simeon. Now, this story opens up and it's kind of confusing in that why is Mary and Joseph and Jesus being brought to the temple? And it's because when a male child, a Jewish child, was born, 8 days after the birth, they get circumcised and named. And then 33 days after that, the mother is invited to go to the church with her child, 63 days if it was a girl, because we all know girls are way more difficult than boys. I don't know why there's 60 days, but it is. But for 30 days, so about a month later, you present the child at the temple. And it was a time to bless the child and the mother, and basically to say, you're safe to be around the community now, you've recovered from the delivery, welcome the baby, and all that kind of stuff. As Anglicans, we used to have this kind of tradition as well, based off of the law in Leviticus 12. We called it, does anyone know? The churching of women. Does anyone remember that phrase? Nobody? Okay. In the prayer book, you do? Okay. It's called the Thanksgiving for the birth of a child. It's in the prayer book even now. But it used to be called the churching of women. And basically, after the mother recovered from the delivery process, she would go to church. The priest would meet her at the door. You remember this? And the priest would welcome them and bless them and welcome them back into the community. It's pretty cool. And so that's why Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple. And one of the things is that they're supposed to offer a lamb if you can afford it. But they couldn't, so they had to use doves. Now, that was because they were poor. Jesus identifies with the poor. But also it could be that Jesus is the lamb being offered. And I think that's probably more, I think they're both true, but that's really helpful. Isaac, would you advance the slides just by one? Oh, never mind. That's where I wanted you to be. It's like you knew. He's been up a long time? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So this is a picture of the nativity scene outside of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And it doesn't look very Christmassy, does it? This is a bombed out area that was bombed out this year with all the struggles going on. And so they put the Holy Family here in the midst of the rubble and the barbed wire and all of that because they're saying something really important. This is not why Jesus came, and it is why Jesus came. Jesus was born into our mess, not so that the mess could continue, but so that he could be the peace within the mess. Jesus came to reconcile us to God so that in reconciliation with God, we could be agents of peace with one another. Israel and Gaza are not experiencing peace right now. We all know. What are we to do? What are we to do in the midst of that? I'm going to suggest it's not taking sides. People are dying. We know very little about the details why. And the urgency of people trying to get us to join a camp here and be militantly opposed to the other side is not helping. We pray for the peace of the Holy Land. We do what we can to promote peace here because of what's happening there. Okay? Could you advance the next slide there, Isaac, please? This is across the square from that nativity scene. Our children want to laugh and play. That's what shalom is: safe, content, fed, happy families and children running, not having to run for their lives, but running for the fun of it. Simeon was an upright guy. He was in alignment with the heart of God, and he prayed earnestly and devoutly for the consolation of Israel. He was praying for children to be able to laugh and play. He was committed to that kind of prayer. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit who told him that before he died, he would see the Messiah, the one who was going to bring in this peace. And it was by the Holy Spirit that Simeon was urged to go into the temple courts when Jesus was being presented. And he made a big faux pas. I don't know, every mother here would know the mistake Simeon made is that he touched the baby. You don't do that, right? You ever have parents freak out when they say, no, stay away from the baby with your filthy hands? Simeon received Jesus in his arms, and he started to praise God. It's so beautiful. It's something that we could sit and meditate with for quite a while. He received the promise of Jesus in his arms. Are we receiving the promise of Jesus in our lives? Is that something that's happening daily? Now, if I wanted someone to sort out our government, okay, and to stop the poverty and the addictions and all the war, I would want an adult. Would you? No offense, Isaac. I would want an adult who was, you know, intelligent, eloquent, powerful, convincing, charismatic, all of that, before I'd say, woohoo, things are going to get better. And I wouldn't even care about the state of their hair. I just want them to be capable. And that exposes my heart, what I think is appropriate, because I want what I want when I want it. But Simeon wanted the promise of God fulfilled in his life. And it was with an infant, a one-month-old baby, that he praised God and celebrated what was going to happen. And moved by the Holy Spirit, he prays in praises, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. And it's not just about the consolation of Israel. It is about Israel being the blessing that they were called to be from the very beginning, which was to be a blessing and a light to the nations. He just praises God, and Mary and Joseph are filled with wonder at what's happening. This song is paralleled with Mary's song when she found out she was going to give birth to Emmanuel. Simon blessed them, Mary and Joseph, and said, this child is going to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. The oppressors are going to be brought low. The humble and the destitute are going to be raised up. There's going to be this big shakeup, and many will be revealed. Now, have you ever heard John Lowndes talk about how when Jesus was put on the cross, it wasn't about God judging sin so much as it was about human beings judging God? Have you heard John Lowndes say things like that? He talks about how we condemned Jesus. On the cross, God does condemn sin. But we said, no, God, you are found wanting. And we executed him. And we exposed the state of our hearts in that act. And at the same time, the heart of God was exposed because no matter what we threw at him, he refused to look away. And Jesus won for us peace, not with weapons, but by laying down his life. And this was not just costly for him, but Simeon said, Mary, this is going to pierce your own soul as well. So Simeon is a character we could spend some time with. There's a reason why his song, the Nunc Dimittis, is something that we say every evening with evening prayer. It's because we need to remember that Jesus, in Jesus is our hope. In Jesus is our peace. And he is the one we are to look to in expectation. The thing with Luke that I really love is that he always matches, like when there's a story like Jesus tells with like a male focus, there's always a female to back it up, or vice versa. And here, after Simeon, we get to look at Anna. And she was a prophet that lived in the temple. She was a widow. She had very little. You know, a few weeks ago, it was the first snowfall, I think. I was at Killarney Lake with Tuck, our dog, and we were walking around, and I just was so filled with peace. The trees were laden with snow. It was just a perfect morning. It was wonderful. And as I was just enjoying the peace around me, I felt really guilty. Why on earth am I so blessed with peace when there's so much war and suffering in the world around me? Why? And as I was working through those feelings, I was I think, spoken to by the Lord that this moment of peace could be turned into prayer. Oh, that people in the Ukraine could experience this peace. Or wherever. If there could only be this kind of peace for everyone. And it helped me to appreciate and to enter more fully into that peace and lifting up not only countries that are in conflict, the people who are suffering, but our sisters and brothers who are being actively persecuted for their faith. I think sometimes that my faith is, you know, pretty impressive, all the stuff I've gone through with my comfy bed and my heated home and my shelter and my electricity and my good health and all of this. But people like Anna had to rely every single day for the food she ate. And she was so devout and she never gave up her faith. And I think about that with our persecuted brothers and sisters and just think how amazing their faith is and what a gift it is to the church. But there is Anna, and Jesus comes in and she starts to proclaim the truth. She was proclaiming the truth to those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, redemption is one of those words that we need to unpack every so often because it can just become Christianese. Or you think it's where you take your bottles. One of those centers. But redemption is when somebody pays the price for you so that you who are in bondage could be free. Someone who, out of love and care for you, does what is necessary so that you can live a more full and holistic life. That's what redemption is. It is life the way God intended us to live it, and Jesus paid the price for that. And people who were looking for that were reminded. Anna was proclaiming the truth as God revealed it to her. Are we? The final part of this passage is that when Mary and Joseph had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee in their hometown in Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. It's very easy for us just to say, okay, that's the end of the story. Let's move right along. But that's not. This marks the beginning of the story for Mary and Joseph, where their role is to raise Jesus in the Jewish faith, to teach him the law and to love the Lord, to teach him how to pray. One of the biggest struggles we've had as church is that we haven't expressed the why to our children. Why is this important? Why do I read my Bible every day? Why do I bother with prayer? Why do I go to a church and do strange things and face all in the same direction? You don't do that anywhere else except for the theater. Why do we do this? And if we fail to express the why and the meaning behind what we do, it becomes meaningless. But Mary and Joseph modeled faith for Jesus and raised him in it. And we are encouraged to do the same, to tell the story of our redemption in word and in deed by living out what we have in Jesus. Luke tells these stories that create the backdrop for what Jesus is going to do. And in Simeon, we see a figure who loved the Lord, was in alignment with the heart of God, and was ready and expectant for Jesus to show up in a big way. Anna proclaimed the truth because Jesus was in their midst. We are called to be that attentive. We are called to be those proclaimers and to celebrate what Jesus has done in our lives and is calling us to participate in the world around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into our mess. And he came, Lord, not just to be with us, but to transform how things were here. So, Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit and in your grace, we would be transformed more and more into his likeness, that we might reflect your glory, your peace, your joy, your love to the world around us. And as we are at the beginning of this new year, Lord, we pray that you would fill us afresh, inspire us, that we might be agents of blessing in the year to come, and the world may come to recognize your love, to receive it, and reflect it in turn. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.